You are now listening to the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. As always, I am your host, Daniel Lee, or Photos by DLEE. So this week, we'll be discussing the topic of, is editing cheating? And obviously this is in terms of photography, in case you are new to the show. Now, to start off the episode, like we do every week, what I've been up to, in terms of what have I been up to. Since the last episode, I did have an assignment due, so managed to finish that, not last weekend, the weekend prior. That, you know, was never fun to do. It was meant to be quite an easy assignment, only 750 words, but then you had to do all these reading logs. So it ended up being around 2,200 words on top of, you know, at the end of everything. So that sort of caught me by surprise. Managed to do it in one weekend, but still, you know, I'd rather be out having fun sort of thing, which you can't really do right now. But and since that, probably the main thing I've been doing and the main thing I've been absolutely obsessed with, haven't even been taking photos because of it, is Animal Crossing's New Horizons. Now, to anyone out there who owns a Switch and plays games, you have to get this game if you own a Switch. This is the first time I've played an Animal Crossing game. I have to admit, prior to this, I wasn't really interested in them. I didn't even think I'd like this one. Now, I usually buy... Sorry for going into this in too much detail, but I might as well because I don't have much to discuss this week. But I usually buy digital games if I plan on keeping it, and then cartridges or, you know, physical games if I want to trade them in later. I bought this one as digital, but I was inclined to get it as physical in case I want to get rid of it. But honestly, I spent like 20 plus hours already over a few days, absolutely obsessed with it, cannot put it down. Like, if I could, I'd just stay home playing it all day. Now, to stop myself from talking about Animal Crossing pretty much the whole episode, I'll just leave it there for now. Now, obviously, you know, you'd have to, I don't know, live under a rock or live on a deserted island like Animal Crossing to not know all the stuff that's happening in the world. You know, we have people dying and sick from coronavirus or COVID-19. And even, I would say just as bad, the economic crisis we're having here in Australia. Tens of thousands of people have already lost their jobs and more are continuing to lose their jobs due to the lockdowns, which are essential if we do want to stop the spread of this virus. But at the same time, it's, you know, really sad to see. I know people who've had free jobs, like free hospitality jobs, and lost all of them and completely jobless now just purely because of, you know, all their professions, they're not able to work. Also, to add, because the reason I bring this up is because of this, you know, I've noticed camera announcements and a lot of news is a lot slower recently. The only main news we had was that Sony had announced, you know, that their sensor manufacturing hasn't directly been affected by COVID-19 and everything else is on sort of track for that. I know this, you know, can depend on their supply issues. So, you know, even though the, say, the sensors are made in Japan, made using certain parts there, some other parts might be sourced from other countries. I know, I think China's starting to get the virus under control, as you know. So that may help with production for a lot of companies, but I guess it depends where, what parts they need and what parts of China those parts are manufactured in. The only other two very small pieces of news that I'll sort of cover is that Sony has decided to spin off its sensor business into its own company. So this was very sort of surprising because there was an article just prior of this American investor that was urging them to do so, but they have been fighting it for a long time. Now, all of a sudden they did do that. Why that's happened, who knows? What effect that will have on the camera industry or like us as consumers? Probably not much, but I guess we'll have to wait and see exactly what happens in regards to that. And the only other piece of news that I had is that the Canon 1DX Mark III, it's known to be having some issues when shooting burst, I believe, through normal viewfinder, not live view. Apparently Canon is working on releasing a firmware update that will be coming out in early April. So for any 1DX III users, there's not that long to wait till this issue is fixed. And hopefully it's not too much of a persistent, annoying one that keeps showing up. Because I know, I don't know if, you know, people are shooting as much at the moment. Well, from what I see online, a lot of people say they don't have the motivation to go out and shoot. And, you know, technically you're not meant to leave the house too much. Here in Australia, we're in a stage 2 lockdown. So we're only meant to go out for essential stuff like to work, to exercise, to get groceries, or to seek medical help. You know, in the case that you are sick or something, you do need that help. I personally haven't been shooting for like a week or two, partially because of Animal Crossing. Well, let's be honest here, mostly because of Animal Crossing. But also just, yeah, haven't really had the inspiration or the mood to shoot. You know, I'm you know, very fortunate, lucky to be in industry, which is a finance industry, and a bank, which is not greatly affected by this coronavirus outbreak. But there are a lot of people there in a lot of industries like hospitality, retail, you know, keeps tourism, travel, that have ended up jobless because of this. So, you know, I can imagine for me, I already feel like, you know, not that motivated for them. They're going through a very tough time. So, you know, prayers be out with everyone. Now, what I'll do is just go ahead and get into the main topic straight away. I won't dance around the bush or run around the bush or whatever the saying is. So, as I mentioned, the topic of this week is editing cheating? Now, this is a very subjective topic because depending on what type of photographer you are, how long you've been shooting, whether you're like a purist or used to shoot film or you've purely just jumped in, you know, when everything's digital, you're younger and that sort of stuff, what your definition of like cheating or what's too much editing will be different. It's completely different for everyone. Sometimes even if you just started photography, you're more of a purist and, you know, you might see one thing as being cheating, whereas another person who's been shooting a lot longer doesn't. So it's very sort of hard to say and is very personal in that sense. So there's no real sort of definitive answer, like set rules for photography, like you can only go to X level of editing before it's digital art. So pretty much to start it off, you know, I would sort of start it by saying this, okay? So there's, I'd say, four different levels to editing. This isn't like a set thing. This is just the way I would look at it. So you got your basic raw edits, you know, adjusting contrast, saturation, highlights, shadows, that sort of stuff. Your very basic stuff you could do in Adobe Camera Raw, Lightroom, Capture One, without making any real major changes or changing an image, just the kind of stuff your camera would do technically when it edits a, you know, raw file, which I'll get into a bit later. Then you have your more advanced sort of editing, like skin correction and bracketing. So, you know, obviously if someone has a blemish, which I often do, you know, removing pimples, removing sort of scars. Most people don't believe in removing acne scars, but you know, that's sort of another example. Or bracketing, which is one of my favorite, where, for example, you're shooting at sunset, sky is really bright, foreground's really dark. In terms of exposure, you can't expose for both. Expose one for the sky, one for the foreground, and edit them in post, or even focus stacking, where, you know, you want to get everything sharp from the closest foreground right up into the background. You can do focus stacking, so take like multiple photos, one foreground, midground, background, and then merge them in editing. So that's another sort of example there. Then you have sort of what's become a lot popular now thanks to programs like Lumina, is sky replacement. In terms of sky replacement, I have to admit I have tried it once or twice. I don't own Lumina and I didn't do it through Lumina, I just did it manually in Photoshop, which was a major hassle. I've seen what Lumina can do and I have to admit it is very amazing, but for me that's sort of where I cut the line usually and I wouldn't go that far. And then you have your full-on composite, so, you know, photographing someone on a plain background or, you know, having them stand against a wall, putting them in some other scene, that sort of stuff. Even some product photography technically is composite, taking a photo on a clear background, adding in something else, which I actually do, funny enough. There's one person that does composites really well. His name is, funny enough, Kirby Jenner on Instagram. If you look at his photos, what he does is he actually, you know, puts himself in scenes with the Jenners to make it look like he was actually there. Even if you're not a fan of them, which I'm not, you can still get like really impressed by looking at these images. The way he does it is amazing. You would never sort of be able to tell, especially with, you know, being Instagram, the photos aren't shown in the highest quality. So who knows, maybe on a platform like 500px or Flickr, we'd be able to notice sort of artifacts or any kind of issues of when he puts himself in there. But with the way they're displayed on Instagram, the photos look absolutely amazing. Now, as I said before, depending on the different levels of editing, there's one thing you have to keep in mind. All photos are edited regardless of what you shoot in. Now, some people may not know what I mean by this. Now, let me explain it this way. So when you take a photo with a camera, whether it be your phone, DSLR, mirrorless camera, what it does is it captures the raw data of, you know, what the exposure was like. It's just pretty much all raw data. Now, for it to be able to be readable, it has to, well, in most cases, it creates a JPEG image, which is, or PNG, which is a compressed image. So what it is the camera is reading that raw data and editing it for you. Because if you think about it, when you look at a raw photo, that's what every single camera is taking, except with something like a phone or even a camera that's shooting in pure JPEG, it's converting that to a JPEG. It's looking at the scene, okay, we'll add contrast, we'll add saturation, we'll boost the shadows, you know, pull back the highlights, that sort of thing, to create that final image that you see. So the only time you have a non-edited image is a RAW file. So when people say, I don't like editing, I just shoot JPEG, you actually are using an edited image. It's more you're trusting the camera to edit the image rather than you yourself. And you, I'm sure you always know better compared to a camera on what that scene looked like, because you need to create your vision of what you've seen in your eyes. So in that sense, I am very pro, like shooting in RAW, shooting in DNG, something like that for you, something uncompressed that you can actually edit and create that vision of what you've seen. But you know, if whatever works for you works for you, just keep in mind that even if you do shoot JPEG, your image is edited. It's just edited by the camera and not by you. So finally, I'll just sort of talk about my stance on editing. So in terms of my stance on editing, I like to edit, but to a certain extent. So I obviously do my basic RAW edits. I definitely do bracketing. I have changed skies once or twice, and the same thing for colors. I wouldn't do it for every single image, or do it for like, say, you know, 5, 6 out of 10, maybe 1 or 2 out of 20 images I do that for. And composites, for normal like product, people, anything like that, I don't do composites. It's pretty much only for product photography. For certain stuff, it's, you know, kind of impossible. Like I have one photo of my Nendoroids and Dambo standing there with some butterflies floating around. So for me to do that without compositing, like removing stuff from the photo, would be pretty much impossible, because there's no way I can get paper origami things to float looking naturally unless I threw them up in the air and managed to throw them up perfectly and capture that perfectly. So certain things like that for product photography, I could not go without compositing. But when it comes to skies, moving, like using liquify to make people look skinnier or whatever, that kind of stuff is too far for me personally. It is good to experiment. That's why, you know, prior to, say, I think end of last year, I hadn't even changed the color on a photo once before. It's something I wanted to change, something I'd never tried. So that's why I decided to give it a try. It's easy and can be fun, can create a slightly different look, especially in certain scenes, or, you know, you messed up your technically, if you mess up your white balance, you can correct that easy in post if you're in RAW. But for some reason, you know, your model was wearing a yellow shirt when you really think it would have popped better with a red shirt, you can easily change that using that mode. That kind of stuff to me is a bit harmless. It's more just with skies, leaves, like, you know, that can really sort of change the appearance of an image to be a bit more deceiving compared to just, you know, the color of someone's shirt. The only thing I would say is if you do stuff like use Luminar or, you know, edit and do composites in terms of changing colors and that, well, that's not really a composite, but please just be like clear and obvious that you've done that. Like for me, when I try and when I upload stuff like that one I mentioned where I change the colors of leaves, I did make sure to note in the comment, like, or in the description on Flickr, that I had edited the color to change it, because, you know, you just need to be clear about what it is. And honestly, like when you get to a certain point, it becomes digital art rather than photography. If you're editing, making major changes, you know, adding flares in, changing the sky, changing the colors of everything in the image, that's no longer a photograph. That's really more of digital art. For me, I try to keep whatever's in that same scene. You know, for like if I'm doing a landscape, long exposure at sunset, I'll try and use the same sky. It might not be, you know, that exact moment or even within a few minutes apart. Sometimes I'll take that long exposure, wait 10, 15 minutes, lights to go down or for the building lights to come on, then take that photo again to expose the foreground. So depending on how you want to look at it, some of it can be cheating, some of it's not. But at the end of the day, it's really what you're comfortable with, and just be clear about what you're doing and don't try to mislead people, especially when it comes to competitions and selling, you know, images to people or trying to pass them off as something they're not. That pretty much sums it up for this. You know, in the comments, if you want to mention if you enjoy, like how far do you think you would go for editing, or do you, you know, think editing is cheating altogether, or what level is your threshold? I'd be curious to know. Once again, you'll hear from me again in 2 weeks. Hopefully at that point, I'll have a review, most likely the 85mm f1.8, but I won't make any promises considering Animal Crossing's taking all my time now. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Photography Enthusiast Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure to subscribe, and our social links will be posted in the show notes.